But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. With great power comes great responsibility. Those are the words found in the first Spider-Man comic book. Those are words of wisdom from Spider-Man's Uncle Ben to Spider-Man, Peter Parker. The idea was that Peter Parker had been given these great powers to become Spider-Man. Now he had the great responsibility to use them for good. He must not use these powers for the wrong things, nor must he neglect the powers, trying to live as if he didn't have these powers. No, he had been given a gift, he must use them for good. With great power comes great responsibility. Evidently, those words didn't originate with the author of Spider-Man, Stan Lee. I did a little digging and read that they were originally from Voltaire in the French. And yet, even then, the idea didn't originate with Voltaire either. We read Luke chapter 12, verse 48 earlier. Jesus said, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Well, this is a subject we are dealing with today. The responsibility that comes with a great gift. This is our third and final week looking at this particular passage. We've spent a little more time on these sets of verses. Today we'll be honing in on verses 10 and 11, which deal with this matter of spiritual gifts. Christians have been given spiritual gifts to use in the church. With these gifts then come the responsibility to use them for good. And just like how Spider-Man's gifts became all the more important to be used when there was crime and evil all around him, so too with us. In light of the fact, as it says in verse 7, that the end is near, we know that means that there is going to be a growing time of lawlessness, of rebellion. And so all the more now, we must take hold of these gifts that we've been given. Gifts God has given us to build up the church. And so today we'll think about these spiritual gifts, and we'll think about the responsibility we have to use them in the church, that the responsibility that comes along with that. Well, let's then begin today by asking, what is a spiritual gift? Well, let's begin in verse 10. It says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Let's make some initial observations on verse 10 there. First, we see the language of a gift. A gift that we've received from God. Well, we know it's from God because of the last part of this verse. It defines these gifts as the manifold grace of God. They come from God. This is what we talk about when we talk about the language of spiritual gifts. And so these spiritual gifts here are defined literally as the manifold grace of God. God gives us these gifts, and they are grace that He gives us. That's what it actually is. It's grace given to us. In fact, the word here for gift in the Greek is grammatically related to the word grace in the Greek. The words grace and gift are very similar grammatically in the Greek. Grace in the Greek is keratos, and gift in the Greek is charisma. You notice that they sound similar. Charisma, keratos, grace, and gift. They're closely related. The spiritual gifts God gives us, those are graces He gives us. In other words, that means we don't deserve them. That's when we talk just about grace, right? We talk about grace as something we do not deserve. We've not earned them. We've not earned these spiritual gifts. They are freely given to us, and they are good things. And you'll notice that when he talks here about these gifts of grace, he says that they're manifold. In other words, when we talk about spiritual gifts, it's not just that he has one or two specific gifts in mind. No, they are manifold. They're varied. They're various gifts. Paul says that specifically in 1 Corinthians 12. I'll refer to that passage a few times today. It's a great passage on spiritual gifts, something you might read later as a way to reflect further on our message for today. But he says in 1 Corinthians 12 that there's there are various gifts, but the same Spirit. The same Spirit gives various gifts. They all come from God, in other words, but they might look very different from one person to the other. In the New Testament, there are a number of different passages that list out different spiritual gifts. For example, Romans, you can just write these down here, Romans 12, 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. These are some of the key passages in the New Testament that list out different spiritual gifts. And yet, when you look at the different lists, you'll find that they're not identical. You'll see maybe some crossover between the lists, but some different things on each list as well. You'll see there are gifts, for example, that include gifts of teaching, gifts of administration, gifts of mercy, gifts of being a giver, many other different gifts. Lots of different gifts that are listed here. And there are even other more extraordinary spiritual gifts, such as people that are miracle workers or prophets, gifts that we don't expect to see anymore in the church. Those were extraordinary gifts used to affirm and confirm the revelation as it was given. Things that were completed when the New Testament was completed. But my point that I'm making here is that as you look at these different lists of gifts, you see a lot of different ones. They are manifold, as it says here. Manifold gifts. Manifold grace of God. He's given us all kinds of different gifts to be used for our blessing. And they're a gift. James says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. That includes these spiritual gifts. We see this sort of broad categorization of the gifts right here in verse 11, the next verse. Verse 11 gives two example gifts. Look at it there. It says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. And so there you see two broad categories, speaking and serving. Given all the different lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament, I don't think we should see this as exhaustive of all the gifts. That would seem to not fit with the rest of the different lists in the New Testament. Rather, it seems that he gives two example gifts here. These are two gifts he has in mind. And you see how Peter again makes it clear that these come from God. And the two examples that he points to here, he brings it back to God. If you have a gift that involves speaking or teaching, he says, do it as the words of God, as the oracles of God. Teach these things, preach these things, speak these things as if they come from God, because they do. If you're teaching God's word, that's where it came from. Realize that you're not teaching ultimately man's words, but God's word. The same is true of the serving here. Peter says that if you serve, do it with the strength that comes from God. Your power to be able to serve is a gift from God. And so these are two example gifts here, and they both highlight that the gift comes from God. We don't wield them on our own or with our own strength. We recognize that it's something God's entrusted to us. I think it'd be helpful here to notice that the two examples given in verse 11, how they really cover the whole spectrum of church ministry. The first deals with the teaching ministry of the church. The second deals with the diaconal ministry of the church. In fact, the word serving here in the Greek is the word diakoneo. Probably recognize the word deacon in there. Same word we get for deacon is the word used for serving here in verse 11. Remember, by the way, in case you don't remember what the diaconal ministry of the church is, it's that ministry of the church that extends mercy and aid to those who need help, usually in very physical, material matters in the church. We even have on every Communion Sunday a special offering to receive to specifically use for that diaconal ministry of the church. Well, then think about these two example gifts, the speaking and the serving. You can think from an ordained ministry standpoint how the pastors and the elders are especially those who are to deal with the speaking component. And then with regard to the serving, you can think about how deacons are the ones doing the deacon work. And yet these gifts are not just for the ordained officers. By no means. The picture that we see here and elsewhere in the New Testament is that all the members of the church have different gifts. And yet what I think is helpful about verse 11 is it can still broadly categorize gifts into these two categories. You see, I think we want to take this idea then and say, how do my gifts fit into the ministry of the church? In what ways are your gifts going to be able to aid either the teaching ministry of the church or the diaconal ministry of the church? Broadly speaking, you'll be roughly involved in one or both of these types of ministries as you use your gifts in the church. These broad wings of the church cover the different sorts of things that the church and Christians do. We speak the Word of God. We serve one another. And so what you want to see as we study this passage today is that the spiritual gifts God has given you are to be used in the context of church ministry. Now, I don't mean that happens only here on Sundays or at official church events. Now, yes, it especially happens then. But it can also happen every day. Just as you live as a Christian in your everyday life, you can use those gifts God has given you and especially use them to bless others in the church. Of course, if you tell a coworker about Christ during your lunch break, you're an extension of the teaching ministry of the church. You're speaking forth the Word of God to them. If during your family devotions during the week, if you explain the passage to your children, again, that's an extension of the teaching ministry of the church. Do it as sharing the Word of God. On the other hand, if you go over to the home of a widow in the church during the week and you mow her lawn for her, then you're doing an extension of the diaconal ministry of the church. Same thing if you know a member in the church is going through some trial and you invite them over to your house and you encourage them and pray with them and just try to comfort them. That's again an extension of that diaconal ministry of the church in many ways. So you don't have to be at a church event to use your spiritual gifts. But recognize that these gifts are meant to build up and bless the ministry of the church. And so in this first point, I wanted us to see how these different spiritual gifts are part of how God gives us grace. He gives us different gifts of grace to participate in the functions of the church. We don't all have the same exact gifts. We don't all have the same measure of these different gifts, but that's part of the beauty of it. Together, the church is equipped for its ministry. And so what I'd like to turn now to consider is how these different gifts are to be used in serving one another. How we've spent a little time now defining the gifts, let's now think about how we are to use these gifts, what that looks like for using these gifts in the church. Notice in verse 10 how it talks about how each has received a gift. Now, to clarify here, it's not saying that each person has received just a single gift. Maybe at first glance it might sound like that. But it's saying as each person has received a gift, as you've received a gift, or potentially many gifts, use them. It tells you what to do with them then. In fact, many people might have several different gifts. We all might have various different gifts. Some people might be talented at just one or two things. Some people might be talented at a lot of different things. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, each has received a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, it says everyone is gifted. No one's left out from this gifting as a Christian. We're all gifted with this manifold grace, as it says here, in different ways. So when you read that, then, you should ask yourself a question. It implies a question. In what ways have I been gifted? What spiritual gifts have I received from the Lord? And then the thing to realize is, however you have been gifted, your job is to use it for good. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul also talks about all the different types of gifts and how they all work together in the body of Christ. And he uses that example of a body to explain this. He says how some parts of the body might seem more glorious than others. And yet we need each of the parts. That each part of the body has a purpose. That the body works best when all the parts are working together. Now, sure, you might be able to get by without some of your body parts. But we would rightly call that a handicap. Well, in the ministry of the church, your gifts are needed. God gave you those gifts to use them in the church. You know, there are many different tests out there to help you determine what are your spiritual gifts. You probably, some of you have taken some of those tests in the past. I know I've taken a few of those tests in the past. And I'm sure those tests can be helpful. But at the same time, this really isn't rocket science. We're talking about looking at the needs of the church, looking at what you're good at, and then using those gifts. Often the things that you're good at are also the things that you love. When that's the case, praise the Lord. Sometimes it's not the case. But Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 12:31, to desire the best gifts. In other words, whatever your gifts are, if you see a need in the church that's going unfilled, even if you're not very good at it, aspire to fill that need. That can give you an opportunity to grow in that gift. And God says that He grows people in these gifts, even gifts you may not have at this current moment. Well, notice that verse 10 specifically is calling us to use these gifts. That's really the point of verse 10. Each gift you've been given, use it. How does it say? Minister it to one another. Serve one another with it. What I love about the Greek word here for one another is that it would include yourself as well. The word that's used there is a reflective word that means not just us, but us including me. In other words, use these gifts that serve others and even yourself. They're to be a blessing to God's people, and God includes you in that. He cares about our well-being. He cares about our growth. God gave us these gifts because He knew the church needs it. Because He knows each of us need these gifts. Different skills, different talents, different abilities that all complement one another. Together we do the ministry of the church. A church that reaches out with the gospel. A church that reaches inward with discipleship. A church that helps others in need. A church that loves one another. A church that together responds in worship. A church that together looks to live a life of faith, live a life of repentance following Christ. We express that today, that union we have as we participate in the Lord's Supper today. And so we are given these gifts in order to minister to one another. We are to use them. Well, that's why it goes on in verse 10 to say that we are to do this as good stewards. We have to be good stewards of these gifts. The word for steward here, this is A word that basically refers to that person who's been entrusted to take care of a house. That's what the word steward here means in the Greek. This would have been either a slave or a free person back then that would, in one way or another, be entrusted with the care of a house. They had the charge and the responsibility to care for something that actually belonged to someone else. And that's the picture God gives with regard to these gifts that He gives us, these gracious gifts. He gives us these gifts, but at the same time, they ultimately still belong to Him. He's entrusted them to us for a particular purpose, to use in building up the body of Christ. That's why I used that Spider-Man quote earlier. We have a responsibility as Christians, a responsibility to make the most of God's gifts given to us. Think about power. This is power from on high, these gifts. We have the responsibility then to use them properly. Think of Jesus' parable from Luke 12. There He compared two different kinds of stewards. One was a faithful and wise steward. He watched over the master's house when he was gone. He gave out the food to the servants in just the right time. He was responsible for what was entrusted to him by the master. Jesus says when the master returns, He would reward that faithful steward with even more responsibilities. On the other hand, Jesus says there was the foolish servant. That servant was treacherous. He didn't properly care for the servants under him. What did he do? He says he beat them. He was more concerned with feasting and partying than treating the others under his care properly. Jesus says when the master returns that he would do away with that wicked servant. That's at that point when Jesus says those who are entrusted with much, then more is to be expected of us. And we likewise, when we're entrusted with the grace that God gives us in these spiritual gifts, God wants us to be good stewards of these things, to be wise servants and faithful servants of these graces He's given us. We're to use them for the purpose God has given. Another example is the parable of the tenants in Matthew 25. The parable of the talents. Parable of the tenants is a different one. Parable of the talents in Matthew 25. That's the parable where Jesus describes three servants. They were each given money from their master, and this money was measured in talents, and a talent was about 20 years of a day laborer's wages, so it was quite a fortune. And one servant, Jesus says, was given 5 talents, another was given 3 talents, and another 1 talent, all great sums of money. Well, the first 2 servants each invested that money. They doubled their talents. They were faithful stewards, faithful of what was entrusted to them from the master. Well, the last servant, what did he do? He just dug a hole in the ground and put his money in there, and when the master returned, gave him back the 1 talent again. Of course, the master, when he returned, he commended the first 2 servants for their wise stewardship, but he was furious with the 3rd servant for his poor stewardship. He didn't make use of what he had been given. You see, it's not so much about how much we're given. It's about what we do with what we're given. And so this is my second point then that we've been talking about, that we need to serve the church with our gifts. We must not use them for evil, for the wrong purpose. But it's not enough just to sit on our gifts either. We can't just squander our spiritual gifts God has given us. They are to be used for this specific purpose, to build up the church, to build up one another. We are to be good and faithful stewards of these gifts. See, God's entrusted these things with us because He knows we need them. Let's all work to be a blessing to each other with these gifts. Well, the last point I'd like to turn then to consider today comes from the last part of verse 11. There we're told the ultimate purpose and end of these gifts. The glory of God. Now yes, there's a more immediate purpose. That's what we just talked about. The most immediate purpose of what these gifts are to be used for is to bless the church, to build us up. That's the most immediate purpose of these gifts. And yet verse 11 sees an even greater purpose, an even greater ultimate end of all these gifts. As it says in verse 11, that in all things God be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. So when we're blessed by these gifts, we're supposed to praise God. As we're grown by these gifts, God gets the credit. It brings all the honor to God when He provides this way for His church. Remember, again, this is about grace. We are saved by grace, and He grows us by grace. He meets our needs by grace. These gifts are His grace. And so when we see Him working through them, we glorify Him. And so realize how much our God cares for us. That He wants us to know His goodness. He wants us to know His fatherly care. And of course, this makes sense. What's man's chief end? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. These spiritual gifts, they work to that end in our life. That we might glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But notice with me in verse 11 how it qualifies how God's glorified here. He's glorified in a specific way, it says in verse 11. Through Christ. It's a subtle little note, but it's very significant. How do we receive God's grace? Grace that will glorify God? We receive it through Christ. You know, we tend to think about what we receive in Christ and through Christ with regard to our saving grace, with regard to that point of salvation when we're forgiven of our sins, when we have been granted eternal life because of what Christ did on the cross. He paid our debt in our place. We think about all that as through Christ. But realize one of the things that we get through Christ is these spiritual gifts as well. And that too then brings glory to God. We receive those gifts through Christ. Remember what Jesus said before He went back up into heaven. Before He even died on the cross. He said, it's good that I'm going away because when I go away, I will send My Spirit. And the picture of the New Testament is that these spiritual gifts are directly a cause of the Spirit at work in our life. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit that proceeds from the Father and the Son, the Spirit which Christ promised and He sent, who gifts us now. Through Christ, we have these gifts. Through Christ, God is glorified. And so Christ went to the cross to save us from our sins, to bring us to God. But He also did that so that we could receive these spiritual gifts. Gifts that will bless us and gifts that will glorify God. So don't miss how this passage again draws us to Christ and to the cross. See Jesus again in this passage. See the gospel again here, brothers and sisters. Place your faith afresh in your Savior to remember how wonderful His work has been for us. Rejoice that He provides all that you need. That's why He's called our Good Shepherd. He leads us to the final paradise of heaven, but along the way, He brings us to food and to water to provide for us, and He protects us along the way. And He does that in part through these spiritual gifts that He's given. And so see Christ and the gospel again today as you think about these gifts. Realize how great, how amazing, how marvelous His grace is. That's why we have so many songs that sing about it. What a good God we have. How we're built up by His grace. Well, brothers and sisters, let me conclude our sermon today by pointing out a clear implication in all of this. Part of the responsibility involved with these spiritual gifts implies that we will be involved in the life of the church. To make use of these gifts, to serve one another, implies and assumes then that we are to be involved in the life of the church. In other words, don't wait for someone to involve you in the church. If you're a member in this church, you are to involve yourself in the church and look to involve others in the life of the church. These things have been given to each of us to bless one another. That means we have to participate in the body of Christ to make use of them. Obviously, church attendance is part of this. If you're not regularly attending the worship service, and you're missing out on a central way in which these gifts are to be used. But as well, we've mentioned, there are other opportunities throughout the week to find ways to be involved in the life of the church family that God has placed you in. When you look at the early church in Acts, you see a church that's involved in gospel ministry and in service to one another literally daily. Now, I'm not saying there's a biblical mandate that we have to meet together daily, but the point is that our fellowship ought not to be confined just to Sunday. That's a climax of our meeting together, but we have opportunities all the time to serve and bless and teach and use God's gifts together. This is one of the reasons, by the way, I'm excited about the upcoming community groups that we're going to start in September. This is part of what I'm hoping will go on during these groups. That it will be a chance to build relationships with each other. Relationships that can foster fellowship outside of just what happens on Sunday. Maybe as you go to these monthly community groups, you'll pick up a prayer partner through your chance of getting to know people better. Maybe you'll find a hiking buddy or a tea time friend as you go to these community groups, as you get to know people better and closer on a more individual level. Don't get me wrong, you can find those things at our time at church on Sunday too, especially after our service today. We have a meal together. We can see that happens here together. But it can also happen through these other times that we get together as well. So my point then is to be involved in the life of the church. Some people could come to every single Sunday at church, be on time, be mentally prepared, and could miss what we're talking about today. It's not just about being here from the start of call to worship to the benediction at the end, and then not being engaged and involved with the life of the church. Let us really look to be involved together with one another. To see that if you're not using those gifts, that others are not benefiting from them. And the same way, if you're not engaged in the life of the church, you're not benefiting from their gifts. With great power comes great responsibility. We thank God that Jesus Christ, who has the greatest power, the greatest authority, has promised to be with us as the shepherd with the sheep, to care for us, provide for us, and protect us. And so let us expect then God to do great things every time we gather in His name together. Amen. Let's pray.